listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Tuesday, live from Las Vegas. 225 FSR stations broadcasting across this great, great nation. I tell you, this is one of those days the stories feel like they have a cohesion to them. There's a big story being told with a lot of little stories. Should be fun. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans to know more than their buddies. I'm a pro. Jonas is a Joe. He's my favorite Joe. He's in Los Angeles. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which NASCAR makes an announcement about fans being at races, you've got the UFC's details of Fight Island that have been unveiled. What is the Vegas lead here on this Tuesday?
Oh, Fight Island. You got to love the branding there. I'm going with Dabo Sweeney and the hubbub at Clemson.
Yeah, and the started with Dabo Swinney wearing a Football Matters shirt. Some people looked at that as Dabo being a little bit tone deaf. Then there were reports that have been disputed that an assistant coach used a racial slur at practice 3 years ago. So Dabo Swinney has been apologizing and releasing statements with what he feels is the Clemson football program and whether or not they should be held accountable for some of these incidents, and his T-shirt included.
Okay, first question, and you're going to be my media interpreter here, the voice of the fan. How recalcitrant, how stubborn is Sweeney being about apologizing but not taking blame? Do you feel like he's been 100% contrite, or has there been a resistance?
No, I think there's a little more resistance from him. He feels a little bit defensive because I don't think that he intended any ill will whatsoever with the T-shirt. Trevor Lawrence came out and defended him and said he's been wearing that shirt for weeks and weeks and weeks during some of our Zoom meetings and things like that. So he feels like he's pushed back a little bit for sure.
I don't apologize to take care of my family.
All right, so not overdoing it. I want to walk through the stories because, and you said disputed, so I want to kind of hear what you think is the current assumptions on these stories. So my understanding is the T-shirt, the phrase has taken on a sanctified place with a certain group. And to me, or with those participating in that group and that movement. And it strikes me that I don't really care if something matters to, and matters isn't the right word specifically here, but I don't care if it makes sense to me. And I'm not saying it does or doesn't, but it's back to that idea is if you care about someone, if you want good things for them, if you don't want them to feel any more angst than they need to. If someone's first name is Chuck and he wants to be called Charles, I call him Charles. Unless he makes me mad, then I call him Chuck. So to me, we can sit and debate the whole, should a Sacramento Kings announcer be fired to say all lives, I think it was, matters?
Yeah.
I think on the surface, that phrase, all lives matters, is certainly not controversial if you just take the words at their meaning, use synonyms for those words. When you plug it into the echo of the movement, you can see, at least, it's clear why they're upset. So I guess my question is with Sweeney, I like Sweeney. I'm going to defend him here for the most part, but was that shirt any better to wear a month ago or 2 months ago? Like you were saying, well, the a player said he'd been wearing it for weeks. But that was a problem even a year ago, right? Where co-opting that phrase was something a lot of people objected to.
I don't recall that. This is the first I've heard of really this being controversial, him wearing Football Matters t-shirt. I think it's similar along the lines to the Drew Brees situation, to where it came off as not being able to read the room and see what was going on around you, and being, you know, understanding that maybe now is not the time to bring out a Football Matters t-shirt when, you know, Black Lives Matter is a real thing and a real movement in America.
Yeah, but in general, the whole All Lives Matter was the rallying cry from the other side, or the opponents, it seems, or at least those who weren't going along fully with Black Lives Matter, and they were objecting to that a year. I mean, what I'm saying is the heat on it's gone up.
Yeah.
But it feels like that was controversial, you know, the whole time. I mean, Mackenzie, what's your take? Now, you know, I don't know if this is a cliche. Mackenzie's black, and he graduated from Yale, so we probably have a smart guy here that can give us some insight. Would you say the All Lives Matter was something that was controversial 6 months ago?
Yes, it's 100% in contradiction to the Black Lives Matter. You know that when you name something, anything matters at this point.
Okay, so I think that the heat's gone up, but you could make the case. Oh, I know the heat's gone up, but you could make the case Sweeney was, if you want to call him insensitive now, I think he was insensitive all along in a way. Everyone's got to decide how much they agree with that. I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas with Jonas Knox. The other two incidents I thought are interesting. So tell me if I've got these right the way you've read it. So there was a player and a coach a couple years ago, an assistant coach, and the player used the N-word, player's black. Assistant coach said, repeated it, the full word, and said, we don't use that word here. And the idea that the coach used that word to point out that they don't like to use the word has gotten heat. Is that the way you understand that part of the story?
Yeah, that's how I read it, yeah.
And how would you gauge the amount of heat?
On that one. Just the heat on which? The coach or Dabo?
Yeah, just I mean, it's a controversy because people think it's controversial. Like, to what degree do you feel like there's heat on the coach for that, or on the Clemson program?
I mean, I think there's heat on the Clemson program, but this is where this one's confusing to me, because Dabo Swinney said it didn't happen. And it has not happened. And he said, had a coach used that, he would have fired him. And that's where I'm a little confused on why would a coach come out and say it if it didn't happen? Yet Dabo Swinney is saying no, it did not happen.
Wow, I hadn't heard that. Now, to me, my understanding again in the incident was it was instructional. Like if it was in the heat of the moment, wow, right? But if someone's saying, you see, you know, it's almost if someone, well, again, I don't want to say it's the same, but it's like if someone uses ain't in a sentence and you're going to say, no, I'm going to correct you. I'm going to use ain't and explain we don't use ain't. It seems like in that case, if the story is true that I read, is that it feels like that the heart, that the intent was to say less N-word, right? And to me, that seems like a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the flip side. The last story in the puzzle is Dabo Swinney's walking by, is what I understand. Music's playing. Music has the N-word being said a lot, like hip-hop, rap. And he said, hey, I don't like that. Turn that down. So once again, it feels like less N-word is what they were going for. But now that one is, well, we have a right to listen to whatever music we want. This is our culture being expressed. Other than the way I explained it at the end, which was my take, is that the story you've read?
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of what I heard as well, too. And so Dabo, this is all sort of piling up, and now Dabo Swinney is having to answer to sort of all of these things at the same time, because people are wondering, all right, maybe there's something going on with the Clemson program. And so Dabo feels like he's got to address this all at the same time.
And that's the irony. And it doesn't mean that there couldn't be. But the Clemson program has been by far, I think, the best coached, and that includes Saban, shockingly. And all you got to do is look at Clemson's record, Clemson's national titles, and look at their recruiting the years that they won. So if you think about it, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. So if you go back 4 years, you know, when you got seniors, you recruited them 4 years ago, sometimes five if it's a redshirt or fifth year senior. And they were recruiting, I think, on average about 12th or 15th in the country, and they were winning national titles. Now they're recruiting top five in the country.
Yeah.
If they keep coaching the same way, Clemson player development, best team in the country. But also the consistency of the staff, the idea that they don't lose assistant coaches, that they are recruiting great. It just feels like Dabo Swinney had the formula or has in, because you look at Harbaugh at Michigan, you're like, man, old school and 2019, 2020 just doesn't mix anymore. And it's not about race here, but rather, you know, tough practices, smash mouth, whatever. Dabo seems to have a tough team, but everyone seems really happy prior to this. Is that your general take before the hubbub here?
They seem like they're having fun, which is the complete opposite of Nick Saban in Alabama. It's similar to, you talk about the Harbaughs, it feels like John Harbaugh's always upbeat and always fun, and Jim Harbaugh seems more stressed out a lot of the times, and that's probably because of what your Ohio State Buckeyes do to him.
He smells!
And I can't confirm that, but I just, you stand on the outside, you look at Clemson, and you go, that's a coach who's excitable, that's a coach who's having fun, the players look like they're having fun, they recruit as well as anybody in the country, and they've been dominant in that conference, and I don't see anybody in that conference is going to make a move to catch them, so they could be around and at the top for a long time.
So Deshaun Watson and Hopkins are calling for Clemson to remove the name of pro-slavery politician John C. Callahan from
Calhoun,
their,
I believe.
Okay, say it again.
Calhoun.
I believe, yeah. From, see, I'm so far from the South. Ohio doesn't have people named Calhoun. But that said, it feels like the same question we've been raising is everyone's got to decide where they come down on these issues. I think obviously the amount of scrutiny has gone way up. There's been a sense of empowerment and the idea that, hey, we now can point these things out. Obviously, a lot of people felt like these things should have been pointed out before. They weren't empowered. The voice wasn't there. Now it is, and they're doing it. And the question becomes, and I don't know the answer to this either, but I think it's a key question. To what degree, if you press it as far as you can, are you losing people that you would have otherwise? Because really, this is a matter ultimately of yes, no. And let's just use the presidential election as the really focus of this theory. If you are, chances are, if you're a Black Lives Matter supporter, you're not a Trump supporter, and vice versa. So there's gonna be all the people that are gonna vote for Trump no matter what, all the people that's gonna vote against him no matter what. And now in the middle, you've got the undecided, as they're called. To me, if you, as the movement here, if they collectively said, let's push till we meet real resistance, and then let's put a flag in the ground and say, this is good till November. We've made progress. It's not where we wanna go, but we've made progress. It's the direction. Then those undecideds are going to say, huh, I can deal with that. I'm voting for that. I'm on that side. Black Lives Matter, or whatever way you want to say it. Okay. But if you push another three levels, or however you want to describe it, until you have a case maybe, but it's you got people disagreeing with you that generally agree with you. Now there's going to be some people that say, I generally agree with justice. This has gotten the scrutiny. It's gotten out overboard. I don't want this. I don't want to empower this. I don't know the percentages, but it feels like a lot of those common sense types, the ones that aren't even all that political. And if you ask them, should, injustice happen? They're going to say no so quick your head's going to spin. And they're going to be genuine. But then you say, should it be a problem to do this? And they're going to say, I don't think so either. And now they're going to have to decide which side they come. There's either a Trump or a non-Trump choice. And you know, I'm not in the business of giving free political advice, but I guess my last question to you, Jonas, is you seem like a no-nonsense, a common-sense guy, you know, and I think it's true. Could you see a situation, I'm not even asking about your vote, the people you know, people like you, would say, I generally agree with the movement, but it's gotten the stringence of it, the intensity of it, when it comes to the criticisms of the Breezes of the world, the Sweeneys of the world, is so intense, it turns me cold. Can you see that where it maybe doesn't bring him to Trump, but it certainly dampens the passion for the movement for those that don't feel so extreme about it?
That's a real thing. I think people are, when they see that Drew Brees is making four apologies in a matter of 2 days, people take a step back and go, hold on a second, is this really necessary? When you're seeing Dabo Swinney have to answer to this, people get defensive and look at that as he doesn't mean anything by the shirt. He just was wearing a T-shirt. And so the debate continues to go on and on. It's similar to COVID in a way, to where, you know, everybody was playing it safe. And all of a sudden we talked about it when California announced, hey, you know, it probably is going to be August 1st. Then people got tired of it. They said, this is too much. We've gone way too far. And I wonder if that's starting to happen, because I do think that has begun to happen with Drew Brees and some of the other athletes and celebrities out there.
It's funny. I look at Sweeney and I think that I can see that. I can see the intensity with that T-shirt actually more than Brees. And the response to Brees was literally like the intensity of that was like, this guy disappointed us so much. And, yeah, you know, I'm not in any way, I mean, I get the general point is that the protest was not about the flag directly. The idea that it was associated with the flag, well, I mean, it was associated with the national anthem for sure. And the idea that someone would somehow equivocate that, I'm not saying that upon further review that it could, you know, that their Brees didn't say every word exactly right, agreed. But Sweeney, it just seems to me that shirt was more of a waving the hand and saying, you know, yeah, you want to sanctify these words? Well, I'm going to try to co-opt them. And again, a coach like that is going to be an iconoclast. It's going to be someone who doesn't like the, you know, people telling him what to do. And I totally get that. Barkley, you know, is like that. But, and I'm not saying Sweeney should get a ton of heat or that he should get fined. I'm just saying Brees, of all the things that's happened, it felt like that his heart has always been in the right place. And the amount of heat he got for it, I think, probably has been the biggest extreme reaction of all of them. I think even more than Sweeney.
I totally agree. I think if you were going to be bothered by either one of the two, Football Matters, to me, a T-shirt that says Football Matters would bother me more if I was an African-American seeing the Black Lives Matters movement. Seeing a coach come out with Football Matters would bother me more than Drew Brees talking about his grandfather's going to war and how much the national anthem meant to him.
When we come back, that's not all. We got the NFL, we got the commissioner, and we got word about the NBA, and some details are emerging that we can handicap.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we could have a glimpse into what the NFL could look like in just a couple of months.
And our UFC expert, Jonas, talks about Fight Island at some point, undisclosed, before the end of the show. Great day to join us. Right now in Las Vegas, 86 degrees. The neon is on.
So, RJ, the controversy does continue in the world of sports, with many speculating and wondering what will the peaceful protests look like in the NFL when it comes to the national anthem this upcoming season.
So I'm back to quizzing you, and my question is this. What reporting do we have on how the owners have reacted to what the commissioner did with his video?
I have only heard that owners were not aware that he was going to release the video.
If I asked you, define for me the job of commissioner of the NFL, how would you describe it?
He works for the owners.
He works for, he's like a representative.
Yeah.
He's like a, like if you own a bunch of Subways, he's like the guy that, you know, all the managers of the Subways report to. And yeah. So
yeah.
What does it say that something, which would you agree probably the biggest controversy, the biggest potential drag on the success of the NFL in the last 5 years has been the aftermath of the Kaepernick stuff?
Yeah.
That'd be right at the top, right?
Yeah, I think before that it would be the Ray Rice handling, the two-game suspension, and then after that I would think it would be the Kaepernick situation. Yeah,
yeah, that's a great too when it comes to impact, right? Not great necessarily the way they went, but what does it say? And then just imagine, you know, you own radio stations, you've got the general manager of the station, whatever, and there's something that is the biggest thing that's happened financially, impact, aftermath, in 5 years. And the manager of the station, who is not the owner, who is not the final say, making unilateral, it seems, decisions that impact this humongous factor. That seems off. I mean, doesn't it seem like that if there's any decision that should be made in conjunction with the owners, it would have been the NFL stand on all of, you know, all the Kaepernick stuff and all the protesting? I can't imagine he did that on a Friday. What was it, Friday night?
Yeah, I think it came out Friday or Saturday. I mean, there's been so many different statements, it's hard to keep track. But Friday or Saturday, I think it came out.
And now the reporting says that the commissioner, Goodell, is considering himself kneeling.
Yeah.
So, and no, you know, this isn't about, is Goodell right? Was the NFL right before? But rather, doesn't it show potentially a major disconnect between Goodell and the owners who he works for, the fact that he's doing this without their input?
Yeah, and I also saw another report that came out that Goodell all along wanted to be more on the side of the peaceful protesting than he was before. And I don't know if that's somebody in Goodell's camp trying to get it out there that, hey, he hears the players. He wanted to be on the player's side when it came to this topic to begin with, but he had to sort of side with the owners. It feels like Goodell, in a way, is sort of distancing himself from the owners.
Yep.
And trying to go more towards the side of the players as of right now.
That's Jonas Knox in L.A. I'm RJ Bell in Vegas, coming to you straight out of Vegas. Let's think about Michael Jordan. The debate was Republicans buy shoes. Jordan was not publicly as active politically as a lot of people would have liked. Now, recently, last week I think it was, $100 million donation. And the debate becomes, is it better to make all the money you can and then do something good with that money? Or is it better to do everything you can for justice along the way, even though it may or likely will hurt you financially? I think that's an interesting debate. I also think it's a excuse oftentimes. You hear this about people, rich people don't give to charity. They'll say, no, I can do better with that money now than any charity can. I'll keep multiplying that. And you think about a Bezos at Amazon, that's probably right, right? If Bezos gave a third of his money to charity right now, would that money grow the way it will with Bezos as the steward? I don't think so. But it also can be an excuse to not have to worry about charity. So I it's complicated, but it feels like the NFL, the players collectively, are making a decision that is going to affect the bottom line. I mean, I think unequivocally, maybe it's a smaller percentage than it was before, But if there's widespread protests, if the commissioner is involved, if it feels like it's escalating at the NFL level around the national anthem, do you have any doubt, Jonas, that there will be some kind of impact to the bottom line?
Yeah.
The financial bottom line.
Yeah, I think it will be a topic of discussion. I think people are going to be bothered by it. I think some people compartmentalize it with, both things can be true. It's disrespectful for not standing for the national anthem. It's also horrible what happened to George Floyd and the police brutality. But then there are those that don't want to separate the two. There are people that say, no, the focus needs to be on this, on one side or the other. And so I think the NFL is in a tough spot. You're going to piss somebody off no matter which way you go with this. And it feels like they're right now trying to calm things down and let everybody know, hey, don't worry about it. We hear what's happening. And I think they look at it like we've got a couple of months and maybe things will cool down before then.
Well, let me ask you, how are they trying to calm things down if the commissioner himself is the one who seems to be fanning the flames?
Because the players are speaking and not the owners. And so because of that, people are looking around for, what do you have to say about it? What is your thought on the situation? And instead of hearing from owners, Roger Goodell jumped out at it because he's the face, the name behind the league, the face of the league. We can't name all 32 owners. We know who the commissioner is. So Roger Goodell, because the players were speaking, he felt incumbent behind himself to go out and speak himself.
But the job of the commissioner, if we get a little bit less technical, is to take the slings and arrows at the front for the owners, not to protect his own interests by putting out there something that would be popular, let's say, amongst the players. But the owners, I think the owners' silence collectively is deafening. I mean, has there been any comment from any owner?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think the Carolina owner was out, you know, a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure about that. How long ago was that, Mackenzie?
That was the Jags owner 7 days ago.
7 days ago. So the Jags owner. And I think that's it. We've been doing Google searches. I mean, that's a hell of a thing that you're not hearing even the obligatory, you know, it's a tragedy kind of thing. Not even coming out with that, it seems like.
Coaches have spoken. Players have spoken. Former players have spoken. And Roger Goodell has spoken. But I don't recall off the top of my head if we've had a bunch of owners come out, because I think they look at this as, if one comes out and speaks on this, then it's going to be representative of everybody else. And it's a bad look if now, 2 months later, we change course and say, no, he went rogue there for a little bit. We're against kneeling for the national anthem.
And I again believe the fact that the commissioner, whose job it is to represent the owners, I can't imagine if the owners were behind Goodell's statement, they'd be standing out there wanting credit for it. The fact that they're in the background saying nothing tells me, Sherlock Holmes style, the dog that did not bark, I believe there's some real disconnect there. And maybe Goodell's about on his way out the door, figures he'll help his brand on the way out. And maybe he believed that the whole time, and he was just so sick and tired of being represented as someone behind, you know, the progressive times. Who knows? But I will say this, final word. The richest of the rich people usually don't talk a lot in the media. And I think what we're seeing today, I mean, like, how much... Drew Brees probably should have just been throwing footballs, right?
And
that's the thing, is everyone in this social media age, and you're talking to a radio host, wants a microphone. And it feels empowering. You have a voice. And all that's valid. And I understand it. But in general, if you have a career, look at we can go back to the Sacramento Kings owner or announcer. He doesn't need a Twitter account, right? To some degree, I think you're going to see a lot of smart people. You know, there's no way to win because you're going to piss off someone from either side. Are you allowed saying that?
Yeah,
pee off?
Yeah.
I'm so, you know, I try to be so wholesome. I've never said that on air, Jonas. You just saw something right there.
Yeah, you can say off afterwards, not on. for obvious reasons.
Yeah. You know, that's private. Yeah. So to me, the idea that so many people would be better off, because when I say you're going to make people mad, it's there's, you know, when there's a blowout in the election, it's 55-45. There's a lot of people on each side. And a lot of people agreed with Breeze when he said it. Now, was it 50? Was it 55? Was it 45? I promise it wasn't less than 40. And in general, you know, what we've tried to do, because I'm not a professional politician, I'm not a professional commenter on politics, I've tried to apply the Vegas analytical approach to these things, and the feedback's been great, and that's what we'll keep trying to do. And hopefully Fezzik won't come and ruin it with all his Silver Spoons-esque talk. He's back tomorrow. Come back, we'll talk about the NBA.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. To get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
We got more details with the NBA. Looks like July 31st, as they've been saying, modified regular season. Playing tournament, 16th, 17th of August. First round starts on the 18th. NBA Finals, game one, September 30th. Now, strikes me right off the bat, Jonas, this gets the league. The plan is, I think, in December, you know, before Christmas or before. Man, I think they just keep that thing going. I mean, who cares about the NBA in October?
Yeah, I've never understood it. I think it's always should have been on the front and back end. It makes more sense to start the season in December. You have your Christmas Day tip-off where you unveil 5-6 games. And I think what ends up happening is when you push the season back 2 months, all of a sudden your playoffs are now in July and August when there's nothing going on other than baseball. And a lot of times those are the dog days of August, they call them in baseball. It just feels like it makes so much more sense. And Mark Cuban, Charles Barkley, they've all said it on Fox Sports Radio in the last couple of months that they've always been a proponent of doing that.
Now, I would say this. I think they should start like the Tuesday after the SEC championship game, because in December, they're still NFL.
Yeah.
But those couple weeks before Christmas, no college football for a while.
Yeah.
You know, there's opportunities there, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. And let's do this. When we come back, last commercial, we'll talk about what, as the NBA details come out, as we've thought about it, do we like it? What do we like the least? And what teams are going to benefit? Also, Vegas, it's been open now since last Thursday. What exactly is happening? We'll tell you from on the ground.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, it's been less than a week since Las Vegas opened back up. What is it like there on the scene, you being the voice of Vegas himself?
We have exceeded expectations. So that is not subjective. It's objectively true. Vegas has exceeded expectations when it comes to the comeback. Some say don't call it a comeback, Jonas. But the MGM that owns many, many properties in town, they had the Mandalay Bay, Aria, Excalibur, not opening with the first wave. Literally by Saturday. So day or two in, the early numbers were good enough that they set the opening dates, and there was talk Aria might not open like for over a year, and it's going to be open here mighty soon. So in general, more people playing, betting at the casinos than expected, good enough to cause even a faster rollout of the reopens. That's point one. Point two, people are sick and tired of social distancing. It's like they don't care. Some do, but it's funny because it's like people are hugging. People are sitting at the bar together, but the casinos are trying to enforce it. And it's interesting. We'll talk to Fezzik tomorrow. You can wear your masks, right, which they recommend. Now, how do they have facial recognition software. So a guy like Fezzik, who is, they call it backed off, he's not allowed to play blackjack at about half the casinos in Vegas. You got to wonder, not only could he wear the mask, but also they got the eye in the sky looking for people to that are breaking social distancing or not wearing masks. And then they're telling security, and security's going down. So they're busy with the masks when Fezzik's going to have a mask, I think, and be trying to beat the casinos. That is interesting, right?
Is that a real thing? Is he really not allowed to play blackjack in multiple casinos?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, they do not want counters. And it's funny. Even 10 years ago, I was a little skeptical, right? Like, come on. And he said, watch this. I think we were at the Cosmo at the time. He went, played $20, like, you know, low limit or, you know, moderate limit. And Jonas, it was within 4 minutes. You know, Mr. Fezzik, the guy walks up and says, you're welcome to play slots. You're welcome to play, but you can't play blackjack here. So he's actually a really good counter. But the thing about counting, Jonas, is once you get good, you can't do it anymore. It's like, imagine golf. Once you get down below a 4 handicap, they won't let you golf. Well, what's the point? And once you get good at counting, they shut you down. And here's what you got to remember about Vegas, always.
They do not lose money. They don't mind if everybody else does, but they don't lose. It's impossible, but they'll figure a way. I've seen things you wouldn't believe. You'll see.
I told you, Jonas. I told you.
That's amazing.
What's your take on the NBA right now? I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And, let's do one more thing on Vegas here. UFC handle was through the roof. I mean, like, bet. There was $1 million bet on Nunez, minus 600.
Yeah.
So $6 wins you a dollar. There was $1 million on it. I mean, in general, do you feel the UFC is doing a great job? I mean, I know having these events is good, but it feels like the biggest names aren't fighting. And then I've heard speculation that until they can actually have the gate, they're holding back the biggest names. What's your sense?
Yeah, that's what I've understood. Dana White made mention of it when it comes to Conor McGregor a few weeks back, to where he said it'd be pretty tough to have a Conor McGregor fight without the gate. Like, he knows the bodies, how much Conor McGregor brings in financially, revenue-wise, for the sport and for the company, just on tickets alone at the event. What I also think is interesting is they've been having these fights at the Apex, which is in Las Vegas. It's the UFC's center. But the cage is smaller. So the normal cage is 30 feet. The cage is now 25 feet, which increases the likelihood of guys trading blows back and forth. And I think might have something to do with the fact that you've seen more knockouts with no other sport going on.
And all of the I think on the TV card, every favorite won, right?
Yeah, Nunez was the biggest favorite on the card and wiped out her opponent. It was domination the whole way through.
So last topic, we'll touch on this and talk about tomorrow with Fezzik, in at 6 Eastern tomorrow, straight out of Vegas. I feel like the Lakers have really gotten a bum deal. And obviously the league's doing what they can do. And I'm not a huge LeBron fan, so I'm not crying. But it didn't dawn on me till recently. The Lakers, if they played the Clippers in the finals the way it would have been, would have effectively had 4 home games and 3 semi-home games.
Yeah.
Because even when the Clippers get the tickets, the Lakers have equal, if not more, fans. And now you go from having home court in every series except potentially against Milwaukee.
Got a nice anti-toko-umpo.
But now they don't have home court anywhere. And you know, we actually got John laughing. That's an achievement. And then now they would have had, in the toughest one before the finals, they would have had even more home court. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but LeBron's got reason to have a frown on his face.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!